This is the podcast of the journey of Fronty. So I'm sitting here with the man who made it happen, John Kamara.
Yeah, Farid, I think this time around I'm going to take control and put you on the spot. I'm the interviewer.
Okay, let's do it.
So you're the interviewee.
Let's do it.
How does that feel for a change?
It feels strange.
Yeah.
It's almost like ceding power, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, you're going to have to cede power, but I'm sure as the series continues over the next 18 months,
you'll
take back control.
I will, for sure.
So first of all, we met on the journey traveling across Africa. And why I'm starting here is the journey of becoming an entrepreneur can start anywhere. Anytime, any age, anywhere, it's irrelevant. You don't have to be 23 living in your mother's garage. You can be anywhere and get that light bulb moment of a problem that you can solve. So tell me a little bit about when the light bulb moment first hit you, considering you've had years in this industry, successful years as well.
Yeah, I think, John, you know, for me, it was more a collaboration of great minds. Just to recap what was happening, I was filming the content for Adanian Labs across Africa for the demo days, the Building Camels model. And we were there filming every day. And when I'm in that mode, I'm very single-minded. I'm very tunnel visioned when I'm filming. I don't really look around. I know my job on day one, day two, day three, day four. And in the evenings, I spend my time planning out the next day. So I don't really have time to think about anything else. But as you and I got to talking and with the other founders, Bendon and Irene, it dawned on me. There's a comment you made. We were at Hard Rock Cafe in Lagos. You started telling me the story of Nigerian filmmakers and how they take their films to the movie theaters for 2-3 weeks at a time. And then they basically give it to other platforms because the money they're getting from VOD and OTT platforms is so little. So the money is made in the cinema. And I think that was the moment when it all kind of clicked, it all kind of fell into place. Because the question is why? You know, these producers are breaking their backs. Their creative spirit is being tested. And then what are they getting out of it? 2 weeks in a cinema and then that's more or less it. So I think that was the light bulb moment. You mentioned age as well. But at that point, I was like, man, am I past the startup? Like, is there like, am I gonna say I want to do a startup? And they're going to be like, bro, you're 20 years too late. You know what I mean? And that was kind of my thinking as well.
So, okay, that moment you saw, well, there's a problem in this industry. And why did you think you might be the person who could take a stab at that problem? Because there's a lot of people who are tech savvy who have tried to take a stab at the problem, have tried to be the African Netflix, all these things. So why did you think you could take a stab at the problem? And exactly what did you think you could do differently?
Well, look, I think it comes with years of experience in the industry. I think it comes with having been filmmaking and creating content for 20 plus years. I think that is, you know, one of the main reasons for it. But also, I do think that this particular product requires someone who has an entrepreneurial background as well as a production background. I don't think this can be done by one or the other. I think it needs to be someone with a little bit of both. The model of VOD OTT platform for Africa has been tried and tested over the years. And unfortunately, 9 out of 10 times it's failed. So there is something that we had to consider. And also, what would be the differentiating factor for us? What is that one thing that can make it different? And that was really, I have to say, a collaboration, an idea between yourself and me, you know, kind of came to this realization together that this can be different because. So I think history and the experience in the industry plays a key role in this as well.
So let's circle back. You've seen Netflix making a huge play for Africa, nonstop, buying up content, creating content, seeing Showmax, Amazon Prime is also doing, even Disney, all these players and now making a play for Africa, the story, the content, and the likes of Instagram, TikTok, you see how many African artists or even influencers, reality shows, experts, and all these things. So these guys have money, right? They've got money, yeah. They've got technology, they're Europeans, they know how to do this thing better than you. That's what people say. So how do you think, first, are you trying to compete with them? Two, how are you going to make a dent? And what is your dent? I mean, without telling us exactly what you're doing, because I know you're keeping it under wraps for a minute.
So you know, technology is a beautiful thing because you can kind of, it's very malleable. You can kind of do what you want with it. So there's not, this is what a video on demand platform has to look like and this is how it has to function. Our model is different in the sense, and I think that the case study will be very quick to adapt based on the fact that our model is a revenue earner for the producer first and foremost. Ours is actually rewarding the producer first. So I think that differentiating factor alone, but that's not the only reason. The other thing is, where is the focus on Africa? You talk about a focus on Africa, but where is that focus? John, you're Nigerian. You've seen Nigerian films in the last 10 years. It's on the level of Bollywood now. So I think that when we say they've made a big play for Africa, have they? I think they've made a play for Africa paying what they think are African prices.
Paying what they think are African prices. Okay, then let's look in the continent. You have Iroko TV. Yeah. I mean, you've got Afri TV. Everybody who's doing, you know, VOD on-demand platforms. So why do you think the market hasn't allowed them to become those giants who can also take a pan-African, transatlantic point of view rather than just being market-centric? And what do you think is the problem? Because when I come from the outside, I'm growing up in Europe, I see one continent. Then I see my country second. But I think everywhere that I travel to in Africa, people see their country first, then they see the continent. So how do you think you are going to break this fragmented nature of people first just seeing their own country if you want to create a pan-African?
And I do understand that. Obviously, if you're a Kenyan in Kenya, you have an affinity for Kenyan films or for Kenyan content. If you're Nigerian in Nigeria, similar case study as well. I think there is a level of quality that the price allows. We're going back to what I said about Netflix as well. So if you are paying 50,000 shillings, it's around $500 for a Kenyan film, you are going to get a Kenyan film worth $500. If you're paying 100,000 shillings for a Kenyan film, that's $1,000, you're going to get a Kenyan film worth $1,000. You know, our revenue model is such that, and I use these numbers a lot because it really wakes people up when I say them. If you have a Nigerian film on our platform, on Fronty, and he has 500,000 views for his premiere, he will earn over $800,000 on that film. Now, I don't know.
Wow.
You know a lot of Nigerian filmmakers. I don't think there's one that can say, I earned $800,000 for my film, which is getting into Hollywood levels 30 years ago.
Interesting.
Right? And it's not rocket. I promise you, I'm not a genius. It's not rocket science. It's a very simple formula. You get 500,000 views. You, as a Nigerian filmmaker, push your community to watch your film. It's a little bit like, and a lot of, I have to go back a bit. A lot of what Fronty became was in talks with Wairay, another Adanian startup called Blow, because it's a similar revenue model in Blow as well. The more people you can champion to watch your film, the more money you make. It's that simple.
So what I'm hearing here is Farid Kimani, the scientist of the content pathway to revenue generation.
You know, I've learned a lot of new words, or at least what they really mean since I've been at the lab, and algorithms is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, in our old school production way, we don't have big words. Algorithms really is the way forward. Yeah. I mean, in any startup, I think you'll agree. Yeah. You know, but there's another side to it as well. You know, we can do the statistics and the numbers and the science behind it. That's fine. That's totally understandable. And that will help us to garner investment. Yeah. When an investor hears, wait, that filmmaker's making $800,000 for 500,000 views, of course it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because Fronty on the other end will make around $450,000 on that same film. So just think about that, right? So that filmmaker's made his 800K, right? USD. Fronty's made its 400. We might have 10 premieres that week that get 500,000 views. That's $4 million for the platform. That's huge money. Now that filmmaker is going to take his $800,000. He's probably going to buy himself a car and a house, right? Set up school fees for the next 3 years for his kids. He'll be left with around $500,000. What's he going to do with that money? Going to make a better film. He's going to have gotten so much traction from his 500,000 viewers on his previous film, he might get 750,000 viewers on his next film. All of a sudden, he's making $1 million on a film. The organic nature of our ecosystem will be loyalty happens immediately for that filmmaker and the loyalty to that platform being Fronty. Even if he makes $200,000, he's sold. He or she is sold. So this is where our platform, we build loyalty immediately. And we leave the onus. Yes, of course, we're going to push that content for the filmmaker. But the filmmaker also has to be open to pushing that content for him or herself. And they have to. And most of these filmmakers have huge followings on social media.
So you're also turning to the gateway for Bollywood into Africa, and also you're turning into the gateway for influencers and celebrities to really monetize.
Why? You know, you can spend your whole life doing things that are essentially for yourself. And I think this is where we often go wrong as human beings. And I'm not talking about human beings in the tech world or human beings in the world of medicine or biology or real estate, whatever. Everyone is out to get their own, right? Now, I've had a very successful career in media. And then you start to get to a certain age where spirituality sets in and you think about, well, what's my legacy? I want to be remembered. I want Fronty to be remembered. And by large, Adanian Labs for allowing it to happen as the only platform in Africa, or globally for that matter, that paid fair prices for African content. That's the reason.
Fair prices for African content.
Yes.
And connecting Africa to the rest of the world. So let's talk technology for a second.
Now, this is where I get stumped, by the way.
So you've decided to take a technology play.
We have to position ourselves, even though we are building this technology in Nairobi and our developers are Kenyan, we have to position ourselves as an African content aggregation platform, and our unique selling point is this immersive cinematic experience, which I'm not going to go too much into right now. Mm. We have to market through Africa. I think this is key, and the marketing is going to be key. So I'm going to remove myself from the technology conversation for 1 minute. I'll go back to it in a second. But we have to go out and start to look for content. We cannot be heavy from one country when we start. Yeah. This is key. Yeah. We cannot, because we're in Kenya, it's very easy. I've already started having meetings with producers. They're all amped up about making money in Kenya. But that doesn't mean that we have to just have Kenyan content on the platform. What we're trying to do is create an African platform that we can then blueprint. So when we're doing, you know, if you want to watch Kenyan content, that's fine. It's there. If you want to watch Nigerian content, that's also fine. It's there. Through Adanian's networks, we already have 5 countries to launch in, which is great, and possibly more before the end of the year.
Interesting. I'm going to go back to tech, Fareed. So I was hearing you the other day talking about this platform is going to have AI models that allow you to do a lot of intelligent matching, mm-hmm. and then also even externally to other search engines to bring consumers back. So you're going the AI way, very impressive. 2, you're also talking about having it on the blockchain, which is really what I want to, you know, kind of focus on, where you want to secure the value of the platform. And you also want to create smart contracts between yourself and the producers. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I'm hearing about it, really protecting producers' IP and protecting the rights of engagement. And you want to also have crypto wallets for people to pay for the content. Tell me about this. This is exciting.
So obviously, if we talk about crypto, absolutely. Look, I'm very new to this world of blockchain and cryptocurrency, and I have started to dabble in cryptocurrency as well and seen the value and what it can actually create. So yes, absolutely. Content can be paid for using cryptocurrency. That's fine. So our producers will actually have... So the back end looks like this. So in terms of crypto, our producers are going to have an online Fronty wallet. That's where they get paid. Now, they're going to have 2 options in that payment. Real money, we sort of talk about centralized finance, and decentralized finance. That's just how it is. So they can drag their money into their usual wallet, whatever they spend money. So that will be one aspect of where we use cryptocurrency for this as well. Using AI to figure out who our consumers are, where they live, their demographic model as well. You know, been chatting with a number of the other startups in the lab, one of which being Reward Ads, another Adanian product, on their use of AI, even Blow on their use of AI and how that really helps them to target audiences. Mm. You know, it's like anything. When you are talking about cryptocurrency, all of a sudden all your Instagram feeds come up, you know, register for Binance and all that. So a similar model for us as well. So essentially when people are on Instagram and we're going to be heavy on social media, if we know they like Nigerian films and they're based in Burundi, for example, whenever they're on Instagram, those trailers will appear and things like that. So we'll be using all this technology. There's also the VR level, which I don't think we've discussed yet. We're going to have a virtual reality option for our films as well, where you can actually sit in a movie theater. So that technology will be there. The other thing we want to integrate is food delivery services on our platform, food delivery service.
So you keep money.
So you know, for me, the technology is, my COO, Manoj, is much more of a technology-based brain than I am. But I know what I want it to look like. There's 2 things I know. I know what I want it to look like and feel like when you're there experiencing Fronty. And I know I want producers to say, I will not take my content anywhere else because this is where I make my money.
So I want to stay on one thing for a second, which is the smart contract that you're going to have with producers. So every time a producer, you take content, you have a smart contract, which means you're securing your agreement with that person to manage any form of dispute resolution in resolution in the future. That's a very smart move, and that basically brings you into the digital assets, blockchain, and Web 3.0. And I'm sure crypto investors will be all over you in a minute because of this. Is you're appealing to billions of people using this type of. What made you think about that?
So, you know, I also feel that getting onto the blockchain with this product, I don't think there's any other way with technology anymore. And every startup I speak to, this is just, you know, actually Fronti's got a pretty easy fit on the blockchain, to be honest. And you know, a lot of them, you really have to think about how it will work in that space, but it will work. As far as smart contracts go, yeah, of course. I mean, we need to have these agreements in place where we can say, this is our content for X amount of time, and then you can have it back. So look, I don't think we're not gonna have paperwork anymore, you know, when we sign up producers and directors and content creators. It is gonna all be digitally done.
I'm sure you've got loads of interest at the minute, but I definitely think one of them that could be great for you would be Cardano, personally. Let's circle back for a minute to the value of the industry. If you were to value the industry in Africa in numbers, what would you say is, and what is the opportunity for a Fronti in this industry?
I don't think we have even tapped into an understanding of the value of the industry in Africa. Because, as you said, we're splintered. Nollywood might make this much. Kenya's film industry makes this much. Africa is a continent. I don't even think we've tapped into it yet. Egypt, Morocco, Tunisia, the French-speaking countries, Côte d'Ivoire, Benin, all these countries with a French influence. You know, they've been making films longer than we have.
So you're saying to me, Fronti, on day one, you would have English, French, probably Swahili and a couple of African languages.
Absolutely.
Interesting. And you're connecting African film industry. So you started, what markets are you starting in? You mentioned Nigeria, Kenya, South Africa, any other market you're thrown into the mix on day one?
So I think we will start with the big three, okay. Kenya, and that geographically gives us east, west, and south. Mm-hmm. But then from that point on, I think we have to think about going north and targeting the Arab-speaking countries because their film industry is, there's a lot of heritage in that film industry and a lot of history. And then start moving inward. You know, and we must also remember we have a role as Fronti in phase two to start upgrading the film industry.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Yeah.
So you're looking to create a fund out of this. So part of the money you're making, you're also dedicating it for a fund, so it's like a crypto fund, or where you now also keep supporting artists across the continent. So you're literally turning into a fully decentralized network.
It's decentralizing content.
And also getting content producers to, by default, also funding other content producers
100%.
Through this fund that you then run within the platform. So even your consumers are part of the governance network that also allows for people to, you know, even put money into what other producers are making. This is really exciting.
We do have a dedication of a certain percentage of funds that we generate in terms of profit and revenue in our first, say, year to pump that back into the film industry, the production industry, the content space in Africa, and create better content producers. Because we'll have a very stringent quality control process. We do not, and Netflix does it very well. Everything is on the same level. If you watch a film from Singapore or from Nigeria or from South Africa or from the UK or from the States, the quality level is more or less 99% the same. I've already created a manual for producers. They have to follow certain guidelines in terms of picture quality, sound quality, et cetera, et cetera. They have to pass our quality control process in order for their content to be put on the platform. And they can fail as well. So they can send us a film. Quality control goes through. We send it back to them saying, sorry, this film failed. Please fix A, B, C, D, and E. And they fix it and send it back. We will eventually upgrade the film producers, but we have to upgrade the standard of production in many countries. I think South Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, probably 90% there, but there are other countries in Africa we're gonna have to upgrade. So we're gonna invest in upgrading production houses and producers on the continent.
So you're gonna trade IP as a value on exchanges for what you're doing.
Yeah.
The other thing then that I'm seeing that, you know, I think also there's a potential opportunity for a lot of, blockchain platforms and a lot of blockchain protocols to actually use their governance model to fund some of these things you're doing, because I think that's a huge opportunity for them. to actually bring what they're doing. So I definitely think you should reach out to as many blockchain protocols as possible, because I think this is a completely new area, because everybody consumes content somehow. And now to dive into the other part of the content that you're talking about, reality shows and influencers.
Yeah.
And how?
So can you imagine, reality shows are normally celebrities, right? Doing something like At Home With, or okay, well, let's use the model that everyone knows, Kim and Kanye, okay? Now we have our African versions of Kim and Kanye. Right now on Netflix, there's a show called Young.
Yeah, I saw that.
Famous Young, in Africa, which is it's a solid product. Can you imagine a similar product created for Fronty, where those influencers like Diamond Platinums with over 1 million or 2 million Instagram followers is pushing people to the platform to watch that content, right? So you can imagine now his diehard fans, even if it's 10% of those fans, decide to watch that content. And again, everyone monetizes, right? The influencer monetizes. So the influencers and the reality show stars become our greatest marketers.
Okay, so let's connect back to your roots for a second. All right? And we were discussing this the other day in the car. You're Indian Kenyan. And we've talked about how you're going to connect Bollywood to the African market, but also, we're looking at the explosion of the startup ecosystem in Kenya, East Africa, Africa in general. And one of the things that I was sort of noticing was, even in Kenya, where it's really happening, we're not seeing a lot of the Asian community participate as tech entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. Yet they're entrepreneurs in so many other ways. Successful, but taking the step to become tech entrepreneurs. And I might be wrong, but so far what I've seen, having, you know, running a venture studio here, even when we did a call for startups and things, that transition into now the tech space, that is really, like in India, the tech entrepreneurs are blowing up. Do you think there is an argument to make as you sort of becoming a champion for that community? It's like, you know, I'm not your regular 25-year-old. Now I'm going into tech. I'm Asian, but I would like more young Asians to also step into this tech space, because, you know, I believe they have a lot to give, even from their traditional relationship, that they can leverage on.
Here in Nairobi, it was very surprising to me that we didn't see any Asians. In fact, I was the only one by surprise to pitch Fronty to you guys. I would honestly say, at 47, sitting in the lab for the last, 3.5 months, I'm blown away. I don't think I've had this kind of job satisfaction in the last 10 years. We get so stuck in what we know that we become so, and like I said, when I was doing production for you guys, I was tunnel vision. I'm doing this. I wasn't even thinking of technology. Got a 13-day shoot, need to knock this out. Deliverables are this. And then all of a sudden you open it up, you start to read, you start to learn. Because, you know, chances are I could have pitched my idea. You guys could have said, we're not interested in investing in you. Yeah. And that was a very real possibility
Well. Totally.
And even actually the high school kids saying, what am I going to study? Because there's a whole, you guys are doing great stuff. You've got the PLP, 1 million devs in Africa by 2030. You've got the crypto accelerator program with L-Bank. So all these great things are available. These are wonderful opportunities for young guys to think differently than the previous three generations of your ancestors thought. I myself at 47 have decided to completely pivot and try something new. I know filmmaking and I know radio. I don't have to think about those things. All of a sudden, I'm not on autopilot anymore. Someone says something to me, I can't pretend that I know what they're talking about. I have to say, I don't understand. Give me 5 minutes, I'll come back to you. And that's where I want to be in life. Learning.
Learning, that's a very beautiful thing. Looking at how that community, which also has a lot of wealth and a lot of opportunity to even, you know, repurpose that wealth, use it to also, you know, grow even modern day technology product that could even support their traditional businesses, which I think is a very important thing to kind of be. So now just kind of for us to slowly wrap it back up, you know, as is our first ever edition.
I've got a working title for this. I haven't figured out yet. I was going to say it's called Back to Fronty.
Yeah, Back to Fronty. But I would say it would be more about, you know, at least this particular first episode, Farid Kimani, the visionary.
That's really nice of you to say, John.
Yeah. No, I think it takes you to turn into a visionary to do something you've never done before.
And be uncomfortable, because I am uncomfortable.
Yeah, and try something you've never tried before, but with the view that I could redefine. But also you could fail. But that's all part of, you know, but being comfortable enough with that to say, I'm 47 like you. So being comfortable enough to say, okay, cool, my life would not be defined by how much more money that I can make at this age. I think I have a lot more wealth of experience that could probably give me a bit more sense of not being afraid every time something doesn't go right. You know, I'm correct. Not 25. I don't panic every time something doesn't happen. Even when I go almost broke, I still don't panic because I believe what I'm doing, because now my life is about a purpose, less about how much more money I want to grab.
I am part of this wonderful fraternity of filmmakers, and that legacy that I, when I'm put to rest, hopefully many years from now, they'll say at least someone gave us the opportunity to create out of love and not out of money.
This has been amazing first edition of Farid Kimani, the tech entrepreneur.
Here it is, man.
You know, I'm sure from Capital FM to tech entrepreneur across Africa. I'm really excited to see the next 18 months as people follow your journey on this podcast, but I'm really happy that I got the chance to interview you
for the first time.
Yeah. And maybe 18 months from now, when Fronti is making waves globally, 2, 3, 4 years, I can remember this first.
You know, I'll send you a recording.
Archive this, you know, I can NFT it later I have this NFT, it's the original copy.
The first ever interview.
Done in my apartment as well. So it's not in the studio.
But it's also important, John, before we close, just to say that, you know, what the work you guys are doing as a lab, from being outside the lab and running around Africa with you guys, to being embedded in the lab in different facets. You know, if you were to sit down with any of the startups in this cohort, 25, 28 of them, I think you'd have a very similar conversation, just different industries, whether it's agri-tech or fintech or us, or what are we going to call it, production tech, content tech, contech maybe, you would have a similar conversation with all of them. I really think so.
And when you see Farid next, think about him as a tech entrepreneur, not a media guy.
There you go.
Then you approach him and say, yes, I need you to do X for me. Yeah. He will do it.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thanks very much, Farid.